Question. If Planned Parenthood is so worthy as an organization, how come they so often open up new facilities under false pretenses? I mean, this has happened at least four times, according to our guest, Eric Scheidler, who's the president of Pro-Life Action League, which is based in Chicago. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we're going to get a Planned Parenthood update, the pandemic version, if you will. Eric, it's great to have you back on the program.
Yeah, wonderful to join you again. It's been strange times. We haven't been able to talk for a while, so I'm glad to be able to get together.
Yes, likewise. Okay, so let's go ahead and open with that leading question that I asked in terms of, the false pretenses. I remember you and I first met because we met in Aurora, Illinois, and in the greater Chicago area, and the Planned Parenthood had opened a big facility, large facility. And it was done, under the name of, this is going to be just a nice medical office or whatever, but it wasn't described as an abortion provider or Planned Parenthood affiliate, anything like that. So it was deceptive.
That's right. This is going way back to 2006 and 2007 when Planned Parenthood created a couple of shell companies in order to move into Aurora, Illinois under cover of darkness. And I've had reporters over the years say, well, how do you know they were doing secret? People create LLCs all the time. That's what happens. Well, because they admitted it. They told the Chicago Tribune that they deliberately hid their identity to keep the, what they call, anti-choice people from finding out about it. So that was 2006 and 2007. They did the same caper in Denver in 2007 and 2008 when they opened an even bigger abortion facility.
Wow.
And they've done it over and over again. They've done it four times just in the state of Illinois. In fact, in each of the last 3 years, a new abortion facility opened in Fairview Heights, Illinois last year, opened in Flossmoor in 2018, and then finally in Waukegan, Illinois in 2020. And what's frustrating about this is that we know this is how they operate, and so we are diligently watching. We have been submitting FOIA requests. It's Freedom of Information Act requests, a federal law that requires public documents to be made available to citizens. We've been issuing those requests, demanding the documents from cities and towns all over the state to see if Planned Parenthood's coming, asking for medical facilities and various LLCs we know that they have used in the past. And yet, because they keep creating new shell companies and they have squads of lawyers who are able to, find all the loopholes in the law, it's almost impossible to catch them before they open their doors. And sadly, that's what happened in Waukegan, despite the fact that we were on top of it, and we were demanding that Waukegan provide documents to us. We may have a lawsuit against the city of Waukegan coming up once we finally get all the documents from them, but that's not going to stop Planned Parenthood from operating. So our next step in every one of these cases is to establish a pro-life outreach at each of these facilities so that we're there to help.
All right, let's talk about Planned Parenthood and the COVID-19 crisis. First, let's begin with the fact that the stimulus package, the CARES Act, for example, was basically to help mom and pop small business organizations or whatever that were floundering, of course, because they've been shut down during this time. Planned Parenthood, for the most part, well, I guess it depends on what state, but for the most part, I don't know that they were shut down, at least not in most places. And yet they turned around and they received something like $80 million plus in that kind of money. Explain this.
Planned Parenthood has received $80 million in money under the CARES Act. And if you look again at the Waukegan, Illinois abortion facility that just opened, it's particularly galling. Here's a massive government plan to keep businesses from shutting down during a pandemic. And Planned Parenthood, in the midst of that, taking money meant to stop businesses from shutting down, they're expanding. They're opening a new location. It's unconscionable, and it really shows what a bad actor they are on the public stage. At the same time, the fact that Planned Parenthood has, in some places, consolidated their activities, the activities they've consolidated is abortion and contraception. That's it. They have dramatically limited the services that they're providing at any of these locations and laser focusing on abortion. I think we've really seen Planned Parenthood show their true colors. As people say these days, they said the quiet part out loud, admitting that abortion is the one thing that they are really focused on.
So, in effect, you know, the COVID-19 crisis has unmasked Planned Parenthood. Not that they were really masked that well by, you know, for those who know it. But I don't even understand how that works, Eric, in terms of how could they turn around and get money earmarked for small business? This is a huge company, right? I mean, and it receives millions and millions of taxpayer dollars.
Well, it was improper for them to request it, and in fact, there's a Senate investigation that's going on now, and Senator Marco Rubio has demanded, he was one of the architects of the payment protection program in the CARES Act, Marco Rubio's calling for Planned Parenthood to return that money. Planned Parenthood is refusing to so far, but we hope that the Senate will be able to return that money to the taxpayers.
I understand that during this pandemic, Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in general has encouraged do-it-at-home type abortions involving drugs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how the abortion issue and Planned Parenthood in particular sort of played out during this time of lockdowns and the COVID-19 pandemic. Planned Parenthood has doubled down on their telemedicine abortions. These are abortions where you don't even see a doctor, you don't get an exam. They talk to you over a webinar or something like that, and then they dispense you the abortion pills without you ever seeing a physician, without you ever having an exam, which is extremely dangerous. You need a full profile under the FDA regulations, health profile, in order to make sure that you're not going to be causing serious problems by distributing these drugs, which are very, very powerful. So this is extremely irresponsible by Planned Parenthood. And they're taking advantage of the fact that government services are taxed right now. The government is so focused on the pandemic that they can get away with breaking the FDA regulations. Pro-Life Action League has filed a complaint with the FDA about this. Several other organizations are asking them to look at other aspects of Planned Parenthood's illegal telemedicine operation. So we're fighting to stop this, to get the Food and Drug Administration to really enforce its own rules and stop Planned Parenthood from doing this stuff. But they are just, you know, unrepentant. They are trying to expand abortion, and not only through telemed abortion, but also they are, you know, using this as an opportunity to sell abortion. You know, here we are in the midst of so much uncertainty. We've had the economy radically slowed down because of the pandemic and the safety measures. We've had people worried about their health, and in walks Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry to say, hey, let us help you. Let us help you take care of this. This is not the right time to have a baby. I mean, I've seen stories about women who had planned pregnancies. You know, they were intending to get pregnant. They were going along with it and decided to get abortions just because they didn't want to have to go to a hospital or a doctor, you know, in 6 months' time. That's on the one hand, I mean, a horrible miscalculation about what the actual risks are for a healthy pregnant woman, but also illustrates the way that the abortion industry is preying on families' fears. And people who would not otherwise have considered abortion are walking right into the arms of Planned Parenthood right now, and they're working very hard to make that happen.
Can you clarify something you said a moment ago? You said that the telemedicine abortions... Am I saying that right? Telemed abortions? Anyway, that
telemed
they're...
Telemed or telemedicine, either way.
Oh, okay. That they're illegal, you said. Can you clarify that?
Well, it depends...
Or some aspect of them are.
It varies, yeah. It varies from state to state. There are some states where they're banned and some states where they're not. We've got evidence that Planned Parenthood is expanding the telemedicine program beyond what is even allowed, you know, in the states where they can and moving into other states. And violating Food and Drug Administration regulations when they do that. Once we start getting into the legal, rules and the administrative guidelines, it's really complicated to explain. But it was right out in bold print in Time magazine, where there was an interview with a Planned Parenthood official, where they talked about the way that they're expanding abortion through this sort of remote system. That they were not following the guidelines that are out there. Now, I know it's strange to talk about guidelines. It gives you a funny feeling because you're talking about guidelines for how to kill your baby, right? So I don't want to make it sound as if we're okay with telemed abortions when they follow the rules. We're always, always against abortion. But the children whose lives are being forfeit in this illegal way, those are kids we could save by stopping Planned Parenthood from violating the law. So, yeah, we're going to fight all abortion, but we're going to also look for opportunities to enforce regulations, rules, building codes, codes, and all of that. Whatever we can do to try to save every single child that we can.
Excellent. Okay, let's talk about the way in which some of the governors have basically said no to churches but yes to abortion. And that would include, I guess, the governor of Illinois, which is where you're based in. Thankfully, that's not the case of Florida, where, we have a great governor. He's really doing a wonderful job. In fact, it's interesting, Eric, to just survey the American landscape during this time. And you see, those who are pro-abortion are often usually the most tyrannical when it comes to trying to abuse power against the normal people. I mean, apart from the issue of abortion. But go ahead and wax eloquent on this, because it's kind of a state-by-state type thing, or even in some cases, city.
That has been a fascinating phenomenon, that in the places where abortion is the most welcomed, celebrated, and sought, those are the places where it seems like they're taking the most extreme lockdown measures they can, and especially going after the churches.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Virginia. Virginia's kind of a purple state, but they have a very pro-abortion governor. You've seen that in Illinois, in New York, in California. Fortunately, the courts were stepping in Illinois, and the governor decided to back down on the regulations against churches.
Let me just stop you. Didn't he say something like, well, the churches might be closed for a year or something to that effect?
That's right. But they changed their tune. Our friends in the pro-life, law
legal
world, including our friends at the Thomas More Society,
yes,
and Liberty Council and others,
yes,
were filing lawsuits right and left. And the governor decided, rather than fight these impossible lawsuits, because the First Amendment is still the law of the land, he decided to strip those regulations. Now churches can open, and they're being called upon to do so responsibly and not go at full capacity. And our pastors don't want to endanger the congregation, so
sure,
they're going to have the freedom to reopen. At the same time, though, Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers have been going full steam ahead. In a couple of states, governors have managed to stop Planned Parenthood because abortion is a non-essential service, obviously, and they've been able to stop abortions. In some states, the governors haven't been successful because of the courts. So it's been a mixed bag across the states, kind of in both directions. But we're grateful for all the victories and all the abortions that have been stopped. But we're out there on the sidewalk trying to help in every location where abortions are still available.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Since social distancing and, constant hand washing and all those kinds of things are part of how we deal, with the pandemic, how does a woman go into a clinic for an abortion and avoid, the contact and, whatever? In other words, wouldn't they become susceptible for getting the virus that way? I mean, as opposed to, in church services now, if there are church services here and there, they're practicing social distancing and all the guidelines, if you will, in fighting this thing.
Yeah, it's been a very big challenge for us. We've had cases where the police have come and given trouble to pro-life activists who were engaging in social distancing. We've even had people arrested, and given citations in a few locations where, again, pro-lifers were out trying to offer help, abiding by the social distancing rules, while 30 yards away at the entrance of the abortion clinic, you've got a line of people all clustered around the entrance, not social distancing and possibly spreading disease.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing to see the hypocrisy of the abortion industry, not following those rules. At Planned Parenthood facilities, they've tended to be a little bit more stringent with the rules because they know everyone's watching.
Mm.
And it makes it challenging for us because, when someone drives into the parking lot of a Planned Parenthood, they get out of their car and they walk to the door. Well, now they don't get out of their car. They wait until they get that phone call to go in. So we really never know when someone's going to be, out of their car and able to hear us. So we've had some tremendous challenges, but we've been encouraging pro-lifers across the country to continue their pro-life presence. If they're not in a vulnerable population, if they are healthy, to get out there, to wear their mask if they need to maybe even wear rubber gloves when they're passing out literature, to continue to be present. And, you know, after all, we need fresh air. We need vitamin D. If you got to be outside part of the day, go out to the abortion clinic and pray and counsel out there.
Eric Scheidler, prolifeaction.org. Thank you, Eric. All the best.
God bless you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.